This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again. Again. It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
All right, we're back on Playtest, the episode 252. It's the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars, and find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos that are in the Playtest playlist there. Subscribe to WEEI, and then find us on the socials at Playtest on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Just Sammy and Gordo here today. Pat might be joining later. Kind of unclear. Don't know for sure. But right now it's Sammy and Gordo. And yeah, it's like, it's annoying because like they win the series. Generally, we take you take seasons series by series. And when you win a series, I don't care who you're playing. It could be the Rockies. It could be the Dodgers. You win a series, it's a positive. But like this time of year, it's a little bit different. You know, you're tied atop the wild card standings with the Mariners entering the day. I believe their game is still going on as we're recording this. They're doing like the Little League Classic. So we'll see where it ends up. Sam, do you have an update on that?
Yeah, I believe they're down by quite a bit, 6-1.
Oh, okay, that's good. Okay, so you might still be tied atop the wild card standings by the time you hear this podcast, but the Yankees won and they're only a half game behind, 4 games ahead of the Guardians. So playoff standings, like making the playoffs, like you are still in really, really good position to make the playoffs, but you see the way this team operates on the home, at home and on the road. It's a different team at home. And the goal for this group has to be either win the division, and you could have gained a game on the Blue Jays today if you'd closed that game out. If you don't win the division, get the top wild card spot and get a home playoff series. So when you have a series like this, where you're up 7-0 and 7-2 in the ninth inning of game two, and Isaiah Campbell can't close that door, and so Aroldis Chapman has to pitch and is thus unavailable for the last game. And then Greg Weiser lets up an instant go-ahead home run or game-tying home run in the ninth. Like, it's inexcusable. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I look like I'm in like a dungeon.
Saw. And, looks like you're in Saw.
So this, I'm setting it up for Isaiah Campbell. This is where we are sending him for what he did in game two.
Ew,
he's going to be down here.
Gordo's dungeon. He has to go to the Gordo dungeon for what he did or didn't do.
Yeah, pretty much. And trust me, it's not pretty down here. There's a lot of yellow insulation. Yeah, you can see the yellow insulation. There is a foosball table and a ping pong table. But outside of that, like there's like a pole that's rusty and it's like sweaty pennies. You know what I mean? Like the penny pole. and there's some random shelves and maybe some like dehumidifiers or humidifiers. I'm not sure which one.
Bro, that yellow insulation, that's actually cotton candy and you can eat it for free. And that's what people who build homes don't want you to know, that that's edible and it's probably delicious. So I go have some.
After the podcast, I'll make sure.
A little bit differently, and that's for good reason.
Yes, sir. But yeah, in synopsis, the Red Sox won the series, but I'm not happy. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It all, game one, awesome. Game two, the Isaiah Campbell thing, Gordo, you said it. He belongs in that dungeon, the Gordo dungeon. Stuff like that, that can't happen. 5-2, or 7-2, excuse me, a 5-run lead. One thing I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear people blaming Greg Breslow. It happened. So those boos are for Isaiah Campbell. Yeah. I don't want to hear people blaming Craig Breslow or Alex Cora. I think Craig Breslow should have added another reliever to this bullpen. I've said that a million times, been saying it all year. Yes, I've been a little bit wrong about how I thought the bullpen would turn out, but that doesn't change the fact that it still feels they're an arm short. Alex Cora, it's a 5-run lead in the ninth inning. Like, I don't care who you put in. This is on Isaiah Campbell. He's on the roster to mop up. That was a mop-up situation against a team with a below-average offense, and he couldn't get the job done. That is the only person I want to hear blamed for game two. Nobody else. Everything else, separate to me. It's on Isaiah Campbell. He's done it before, too, and he's not good, but it's a 5-run lead. We've seen him pitch a clean inning before. It's not crazy. So just too many of those comments on my post today were, what about Cora? He shouldn't have put him in. If he's on the roster, he needs a role. That was his role. He didn't get the job done. And you just knew, even though it's the Marlins, you knew, oh God.
You knew it'd bite you.
Back.
You knew. Yeah. You knew it was going to bite you.
Yeah, you knew it was going to bite you. The way it happened, though, was so directly correlated to game two. The way it happened in game three, I should say, to be clear, was so directly correlated to how it went down in game two. Just one of those games, I say all the time, I don't get that mad when the Red Sox lose. It's such a long season. I can't get that mad at a regular season loss. This one on Sunday really pissed me off because it didn't have to happen. Didn't have to happen at all. It did happen. Trying to move on from it. It's been hours. It's 9:30 as we're recording. The game ended hours ago, and I'm still kind of like, not mad, but just miffed. I'm miffed with the Red Sox for that one.
Well, you have the stat. I mean, I feel like it hurts extra. I mean, I agree with you, Sammy. Like, regular season losses are regular season losses, but when you get at this get to this stage in the season and the stakes get a little bit higher, it hurts a little more. But then when you factor in the fact that, and this was per Chris Smith and Sean McAdam, the Red Sox were 57-1 when leading after 8 innings, and now they're 57-2. So yeah, I mean, Chapman in the ninth entering with a lead has been as automatic comes. And the second you don't have him available, and like, yes, I agree, Sammy, like Isaiah Campbell, the number one culprit here. That's why he's coming to the dungeon. I'm not sending anyone else to the dungeon, but Greg Weissert did give it up. And it was a bad pitch. He acknowledged it was a bad pitch. And he hasn't been the same guy that he's been, that he was in the first half. But here, I have a Greg Weissert stat. In his last 23 innings, how many strikeouts do you think Greg Weissert has in his last 23 innings? So that's how many outs, 23 times 3 would be 69. 69 outs. How many of those 69 outs have come via the strikeout?
Because you're asking me, I'm going to guess it's low. Like,
it is low.
Is it in the 20s?
Dude, it's 8.
Oh, my God. Actually, 20 would be
20 would be high. That would be, yeah, I mean, that'd be okay. That'd be a K in inning, which is pretty good. But
so
eight.
if it was 70. No. Yeah. Okay. Either way, which, 8 is insane.
8's bad. He has not been the same guy, and they've and granted, the runs haven't been necessarily coming across. You look at his game logs. Like, yeah, he let the game up today. But it hasn't been that bad for him overall. But like, if you watch the games, the stuff, it doesn't pop like it did in his, April, May, kind of like last year. Last year it popped early, then he fell off a cliff, and then they rested him and he came back. This time they rested him. He hasn't necessarily come back. But to your point, Sammy, from earlier, you kind of alluded to it. the Red Sox did, they could have used a right-handed arm at the deadline. I as much as, and I know Steven Matz gave it up today too, but granted, that pitch was like multiple inches outside the zone. Like, you can't really get on the guy for that.
Impressive. That was really impressive.
But like, they have. Yeah, it was an impressive. He's been impressive since he came up to the bigs. Good for him. And I'm not going to get on Matz for letting up a homer on a ball outside the zone. I'm just not going to do it. But the Red Sox traded for a left-handed reliever at the deadline, sent Brendan Bernardino down in the midst of a 13-inning scoreless streak. When, not to mention, like, the guy we're all excited to potentially see get called up to pitch out of the bullpen, Peyton Tolley, is another lefty. He went 5 scoreless innings this weekend. So, like, we can be excited about him. But the issue is they needed a righty because they DFA'd Jorge Alcala within days after the deadline. Your righty's out of the bullpen. You've got Whitlock, who's been good. Today wasn't his best. He let up the run in the eighth. Obviously, that hurt you. But he's been great. After Whitlock, Weissert, Hicks, Campbell, and your depth in AAA, David Sandlin, who, like, I get it. We all want to see him come up here and contribute. But Sandlin has pitched 5 relief outings in AAA. 4 of them he's allowed runs. And the one where he didn't, he walked 3. So that's not a guy who's coming up here soon. He's adjusting to that new role. Like, that's not an imminent call-up.
Yeah, not to mention, if you want this kid, Sandlin, to have a good career, you don't want to bring him up in a new role that he's struggling at already and then say, hey, go, good luck in Major League Baseball. That's just a terrible way to treat your prospect, and it doesn't help the big league team either. So, yeah, again, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, talking about, like, we all knew they needed a bullpen arm. Like, yes, the bullpen's been good, but that doesn't mean it's not an arm short. Slayton can't get back soon enough, man. Holy crap.
That's the key.
He can't get back soon enough. And like, today, you have Whitlock have an off day, and then it just, now you're like, who do we go to now? The Alcala thing, kind of looking back on it, hindsight's 2020, kind of a lazy move by the Red Sox. Let's get this guy with an 8.88 ERA. He's got good stuff. Maybe we can tweak him, get a cheap reliever. Like, come on, you couldn't have spent a little bit of prospect capital to get someone just a bit more reliable?
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, late. It was a lazy move to DFA him because you got Campbell instead. Like, to me, I get Alcala was pitching terribly, but at least he had a ceiling. Like, Isaiah Campbell, he's been bad in AAA this year. Like, what do you expect? Oh, like, at least Alcala had a nice stretch of what did he have? Like his ERA was below 1 his first, like, 14 games with the Sox.
Yeah, he had a few good outings, but no, I'm talking about him being your right-handed addition. I thought was lazy and, like, kind of cheap in way of not giving up prospect capital.
Well, when they didn't get a guy at the deadline, yes, agreed,
right, 100%. Exactly. At the time, because I'm thinking, like, okay, cool, yeah, roll the dice on a guy with upside because he's got good stuff. Never did I think this is their right-handed addition. We thought it was a complimentary piece, and if he's good, fantastic, great. Add more to the bullpen. And if he's not good, get rid of him, which they ended up doing. So that's the issue with me. It's just not it's like in Breaking Bad when Mike goes, no half measures. They kind of
careful.
Take a half measure.
I just started that show. I'm in season 2.
Oh, really? You just started it?
Dude, it's so good. Every episode has me, like, on my toes. I cannot believe it took me this long to watch it. It's so good.
It's my favorite TV series ever. When you finish, let me know. We'll talk Breaking Bad like 12 years later.
I'm basically watching. I usually, with me with TV shows, like, I get, like, anxiety watching them. So I, like, in the sense that I don't want to finish them. So I, like, go slowly. Mm-hmm. But with Breaking Bad, it's so good. I can't do it. I have to watch an episode a day. So,
and it keeps getting better.
I'm flying. Yeah. I'm excited.
There's a New England twist to it towards the end, too. Just wait till you get there.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, shout out the creators of
Alcala.
Breaking Bad.
Let me put a bow on this take. I didn't mind when they signed Alcala. I never mind when they take a flyer on an upside reliever with good stuff like him. And he does have good stuff. You can't debate that. We both agree. We both kind of liked him at the time. But I liked it because I figured he was a complimentary piece. I didn't think this was the righty that they were adding to the bullpen. Or the arm in general they're adding to the bullpen.
Well, Sammy, let me cut you off. I'll tell you the guy they thought was the ad. It was Jordan Hicks. They thought Jordan Hicks was the ad. And
yeah.
And the truth is, like,
great.
I know when they got Jordan Hicks, you definitely could have sold me as him being the ad. But by the deadline, by the time we got to the deadline, I think we knew that this wasn't going to be a guy that you could rely on to be like a seventh, eighth inning guy. We knew by then.
Even at the Alcala time, I kind of was like, okay, Hicks is kind of a project. When they got Hicks, he was kind of the same as Alcala for me, man. Like, weird season, had a toe injury at the time, making a lot of money, so you know he's going to stick around. take a roll of the dice on the upside again. I still didn't think this was the addition, but if you look at him and Alcala, maybe you can spin it like one of these two guys has to hit. If one of these two guys pitches well, we're great. So I not the season for that. You can make the playoffs and maybe go on a run. The AL's wide open. I would have just liked a more reliable arm. And what I was going to say was I kind of felt the same way about Steven Matz when they had him at the deadline. Okay, good. Nice addition. Surely this isn't going to be the only bullpen arm they add. It was.
But to me, it's like if you were going to go for one bullpen arm, it should have been a righty. Like Matz is good. And I trust him late in games. And I know his splits lefty righty haven't been that great. It's gotten better since he's gotten here. I trust him.
But you trust Matz late in games?
I do. I don't know if I do. I trust him. It's not a trust in the sense that it's like Garrett Whitlock and Aroldis Chapman and Justin Slayton when he's healthy trust, but like I do trust the guy. Like I don't think he's gonna blow it. But the truth is it is exactly what you said it was before. Like Justin Slayton needs to come back and this season's gonna hinge on when he comes back and how effective he is.
Can we do an exercise very quickly about the bullpen? I want to do our own Ed Hand trustometer. Shout out to Ed Hand, friend of the program. I think very obviously, number one, Chapman.
Yeah.
Who do you rank after Chapman?
Whitlock.
Same.
And then we're not including Slayton, right?
No Slayton. It's just guys who are on the active roster right now. So let me see. Campbell, who I assume is going to be last, Hicks, Matz, Giovanni Moran, Weissert, Whitlock, Wilson. I put Wilson third.
Yeah, I'd probably put Wilson third. Him and Matz are kind of tied for me. Like it's kind of interchangeable.
Wilson's been so good though.
Yeah, I mean, so is Matz though. So is Matz. You know, they've and they're so similar. Matz's splits are a little bit even. That's maybe the reason. I'll still put Wilson above him just because we've seen him do it here for a little bit longer than Matz. Like Matz, most of that season's in St. Louis.
Yep.
But yeah, I'll give you Wilson three, Matz four, and then I feel like it's Weissert five. And then who's left? It's Hicks, Moran, and Campbell.
Is it pronounced Moran?
I think so, yeah.
Moran. I'll say Moran. I'd go Moran, Hicks. Because Hicks, if he's on, he's really good. But you just never trust him to be on. So I'll put him ahead of Campbell. Campbell, I would put you
ahead
of Campbell at this point. So that's how I'd do it.
It's just very funny putting Giovanni, final say Moran. I should know how to pronounce this guy's name. It's very funny that we're putting Giovanni Moran ahead of Jordan Hicks, like the guy who's been like a proven setup man and closer for years. But like that's just how unreliable he's been since he's gotten here.
Right. You'd rather roll the dice on a guy who's pitched 80 games in his career, but two innings this season.
I was gonna say, you know why he's reliable? Because you haven't seen him as much as you've seen Jordan Hicks and Isaiah Campbell.
It's like the mystery box. Like it could be anything. It could even be a setup man. Or it could just be another Jordan Hicks. Like, we don't know.
And then all of us Red Sox fans are Lois, like, we'll take the box.
Yeah. Wait, okay. I actually have another thought that I had. I forget if I might have put this in the group chat. If the Red Sox had listened to me and said, okay, Kyle Harrison, you're getting, or whoever, it doesn't even have to be Harrison, you're getting the start on Tuesday, and Walker Buehler's going to the mop-up role, and Isaiah Campbell's getting optioned. Buehler, as bad of a year as he had, he's probably not coughing up a 5-run lead in the ninth. Probably.
But he's probably not ready to pitch, though.
How many pitches did he throw? He threw 90, and it was how many days rest? Today, Sunday, and he pitched Wednesday, Thursday.
He's coming off.
It'd be like his bullpen
sesh. He's like a surgery guy. Yeah, that's
true. They don't need to care. Okay.
That's fair. It could be like the in-between start session. Yeah, people, that's like what Cora does in the playoffs with his starters. All right, you know what? I'll give you that one.
It's a stretch, but I'm just saying, man. Like if Buehler has a tough start against Baltimore, I'm gonna be kind of ripshit. Because now the series against Baltimore, like when they lost back-to-back series, like I get it, Padres and Astros, tough teams. Like we get it. And we talked about it on this podcast, like it was not fun to watch those games, but they're tough teams. And now you're facing a little bit of an easier schedule. Yep. They're major league teams with major league players. And like you saw it with Sandy Alcantara, like these guys are capable of just going out there and shoving, and they're capable of going out there and hitting like they did in the ninth today. But Now you're going up against Trevor Rogers and Sugano from the Orioles, who have been like, Rogers is a buck and a half ERA, and Sugano's probably been their most consistent dude all year. You like, I don't want to say you have to win both, but like, if I told you before this stretch of games going into the five games at home against the Marlins and the Orioles that they would go 3-2, I feel like we'd both be disappointed with that.
I'd be like, that's fine, but I'm not thrilled about it. Yeah, that's kind of how I'd feel if they split. I'd say that's fine. You face two good pitchers, but at home, I expect more. I wanted four
at home, yeah.
four of the five games, which, when I say that out loud, I sound like an asshole. Like, you got to win four of the five games. Like, it's not Major League Baseball. But you look at these matchups. Like, look at Miami. The Marlins played the day before they came to Boston. They burned their bullpen. They had to, like, we didn't see any of their good starters. It's just frustrating.
You had all the games.
You saw Sandy, all wins. Actually. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say we didn't see any of the good. Sandy Alcantara has been bad this year, but he's not a bad pitcher. I stand by that. But still.
But they were all wins. Like, they all, like, you won the first game. It was a great win. Like you battled. You all they needed was to get one run against Sandy to tie it up, and the crowd was going to carry them home and win that game. And that's exactly what happened. Game two, you win the game flat out, and game three, you're winning in the ninth inning. Yes, we talked about it. All the reasons that they should sweep the series, and I get it, it's a major league team, but like, everything was in the Red Sox favor. You had all three of your guys. You're entitled to lose, but at this point in the year, when the games matter this much and you're this neck and neck for a home playoff game, when you lose a game like that because of what happened in game two, like, that's why it's unacceptable.
Stupid.
Like, you're entitled to lose games. Like, you're going to lose games, but this is hard to swallow.
Gordo, last thing on Isaiah Campbell before he hopefully gets sent to the shadow realm.
I'm expecting him in 20 minutes.
Yeah. all right. So
I can see his Uber on the map.
He came to the Red Sox in 2024. He's pitched in 14 games, 14.1 innings. What do you think his ERA is?
Oh, man. I imagine him pitching. I only see him letting up runs when I think of it.
You're almost correct.
I feel like it's got to be it's got to be above six.
Keep going.
Well, hold on. Before yesterday,
8.31. Okay. I'm just taking a guess. 8.31.
Keep going. Keep going up.
Dude, is it double digits? 10?
It's double digits.
Oh my! Just spill it.
It's got to be like 11 then.
Isaiah Campbell, 2 years with the Red Sox, 14.1 innings, 11.3 ERA. He has 18 earned runs. So that's, he's averaging brutal. 9 strikeouts, though.
Can I just ask you guys, like, we talked about it in the chat. There are literally so much better right-handed options down in Worcester and even in Portland. What is the Red Sox affection with this guy?
Like, I don't think
Zach
they...
Zach Kelly is a better option. He wouldn't have blown it. Nick Birdie, with all of his injury issues, he probably wouldn't have blown it. Like, what is it about Campbell that this team is so enamored with?
I think it's literally just the fact that he's on the 40, man. Like, that's literally all I think. Like with Nick Birdie, they just passed him through waivers. Like, with Zach Kelly, I mean, he hasn't pitched that well in AAA, and we've seen him kind of do exactly what Campbell just did in the majors. The guy that interests me, Alex Hoppe's been throwing hard down there, and like, I don't know. It's all like Tyler Uberstein too. If you're down to cut down his innings, like, that's a guy who could come up and be a mop up guy. Like, there are dudes who could do it. And if you're not going to move Buehler to that role, like, there are guys I'd prefer, but like, the best dudes aren't on the 40 man right now. So it's tough. It is what it is. You just can't blow that game. I have
just
another outside
a 40 man spot. Send Campbell to Gordo's basement. There's no 40 man spots in that basement.
No, definitely not. No, there's nothing here. You're not even, there's no options down here either. There's nothing.
There's cotton candy. That's it.
Can I assign blame to someone here, Sammy, that we haven't assigned blame to yet?
For what?
Okay, bear with me here. Chaim Bloom.
What?
All right. So if you remember in 2023, the trade deadline, the only move they made was to trade for Luis Urias. And then that offseason, Breslow takes over, trades Luis Urias for Isaiah Campbell. If Chaim Bloom had targeted the right guys at that deadline and didn't get Luis Arias, Isaiah Campbell, it never gets introduced to the Red Sox. Granted, they did non-tender him this offseason and then bring him back on a non-roster deal. So maybe they get their hands on him anyway, but they don't know the guy. So maybe they don't. And maybe he's not here to cough up a 7-2 game. Oh my God.
Okay. The problem with that is when the Red Sox acquired him, he had pitched 27 games with a 2.8 ERA and 141 ERA plus. So we thought we were getting a good bullpen arm. Like, oh, I remember that. I remember being like, oh, why'd Seattle give this guy up? Well, there, you learn your lesson. If the fucking Mariners give up a pitcher, he's probably not good because they turn pitchers into friggin' monsters all the time. Isaiah Campbell is not one of them. Surprise.
Who were the three new guys? Oh, I remember them. Okay. It was Isaiah Campbell, Greg Weissert, Justin Slayton. And we had a preseason prediction thing of who was going to be the most effective new reliever for the Red Sox last year. And all three of us picked Isaiah Campbell with Justin. Yeah. I mean, granted, he was a Rule 5 pick that none of us had ever seen outside of spring training, but we all picked Campbell. We saw that year he had in 23 and we're like, give me that guy. But, you know, can I tell you something, Sammy?
It's not even a bad take. Like, he looked so good in Seattle. I mean, it aged poorly, but at the time, the logic was bad. The logic was good. The take was bad, I should say.
Can I say something? Because I did say it to my dad. I was watching the game with my dad, game two. When the ninth inning came around and they put Isaiah Campbell in, I said to my dad in that moment, I said, I don't think he's going to hold this game, and I think they're going to go to Chapman here, so I feel like they probably should have gone to Weissert. I know that I'm not blaming Cora, because anyone on your team should be able to hold a 5-run lead in the ninth, especially when it's not a situation where it's like, get them to 3 runs and then you're going to the close. No, they literally waited until the tying run was at the plate to make the call to Chapman. Like, they gave him as long as they possibly could. But that said, I did say it to my dad.
That was a good call. Good call.
I did say it.
I believe
so. I'm
you.
Just saying, like, is there blame to be assigned to Cora here?
Well, the way I look at it is, if you are on the big league roster, you need to have a role. And that was Isaiah Campbell's role. You are the mop-up guy, whether it's a blowout, positive or negative. And that was what he was assigned to do. He couldn't do it. You don't want to burn Greg Weissert in a mop-up role if you don't have to. He's kind of your...
But is 5 runs okay, mop-up? That's the question. Is 5 runs mop-up?
5 runs against the Marlins is mop-up, in my opinion. That's fair. A very... Marlins. Without Kyle Stowers, by the way, they're missing their best bat. Like, that is... mop up duty. So yeah, that's a good prediction by you, Gordo. Unfortunately, you were correct. But yeah, if you're on the roster, you need to contribute when you're called upon. There can't be a 2018 Drew Pomeranz who doesn't play at all in the World Series. You can't have that in the regular season. It's all hands on deck. So I don't blame anyone but Isaiah Campbell for that. It's 5-run lead against the Marlins at home, man. Fuck.
All right.
I'm getting more angry the more we talk about it. Normally, this is supposed to be therapeutic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So we have to, I'm going to move us to something else because I'm pretty sure I hear Isaiah walking up above me right now. So I don't want him to hear us like talking shit. So let's like look ahead a little bit here. Looking at the standings, let's assume the Mariners are going to lose. Right now, as we record, they're down 7-1 in the seventh. Mets, don't Mets this up. Let's finish this win. Sox are going to be tied with the Mariners, both a half game ahead of the Yankees and four games ahead of the Guardians, 4.5 against above the Royals, and enough above Texas where you don't need to worry about them. Upcoming on the schedule, you've got two with the Orioles with Dustin May and Walker Buehler. You've got four with the Yankees with your three horses and then Dustin May. Then you got four with the Orioles and then three at home against the Pirates. How do you feel about this upcoming stretch? Because the truth is, like, we're frustrated with this game today. But the truth is, how is what we're seeing going to impact the standings? Like, Sammy, do you share the same goal as me that this team needs to get, make sure that they get a home wild card series?
I would much prefer a home wild card series, but I've been saying all year, if you make the playoffs, I'm not going to complain. I'd like for more, but based on the last few seasons and what we've seen and the critiques we've had of this team in season, I'll be happy with a playoff spot. That said, the way this team plays at Fenway, Sunday aside, I'd feel way, way, way more comfortable. And I'm looking at the schedule. So yeah, you got the two-game series with Baltimore, a weird-ass Wednesday off day. When does that ever happen? And then four against the Yankees. That's a massive series. That is gigantic. Huge. It does, yeah. So that'll prove a lot. And then you got absolute pillow fights against the Orioles and the Pirates. So
you got to take care of business. Weird. You can't assume anything.
On one hand, you said it earlier, games this time of year are super important to win, and I agree. So I don't want to be like, ah, it's okay, you got an easy schedule coming up. But on the other hand, you got an easy schedule coming up. So it hurts a little less, but I feel like that's just an unhealthy way to think. You can't look at those games and go, those are wins. What if you run into Paul Skeens, Pirates,
and
he pitches a complete game shutout and you lose 1-0 to those friggin' bums? You'll feel awful all of a sudden. So those easy games are, as much as we expect the Red Sox to win them, those could also be excruciatingly painful if you don't win them.
So I'm trying to find the Fangraphs playoff odds real quick, because to me, like, you're four games up on the Guardians. They've got a negative run differential on the year. The teams that are out of the postseason race in the AL right now cannot get out of their own way. Like, the Red Sox have had a tough, they lost 5-7, then they won 5-9, and then they lost again. So they've lost 6 out of their last 10 games, and they basically haven't lost any ground on a playoff spot. I feel really good about their chances of making the playoffs. That, like, in the last few days, because all year really my focus has been, how can this team get to the playoffs? And I agree with what you said. If they make the playoffs, they happen to not get a home playoff game and they lose in the first round, it's like, okay, I really wish they got a home playoff game, but the season is a stepping stone. It's not a failure. Like, they did what we needed them to do this year, especially when they traded Devers. And, like, it kind of felt like, wow, this might just be another one of those years. So good for them if they make the playoffs. But you look at the home road splits here. They're 42-23 at home. They're 27-34 on the road. That's 18 above at home, 7 below on the road. Like, it needs to be a legitimate focus for this team to finish with a better record between now and the end of the year than the Seattle Mariners. And if they win the division, then it's got to be than the Astros. Like, if you go on the road to Seattle and you have to win in Seattle facing whoever the hell they want to throw in the first couple, in three games, like, everyone they throw is going to be great. Or you could get a home playoff series where you beat everybody except for the Marlins on Sunday. You beat everybody. It makes such a difference. And that's why, to me, every single game that is within your grasp and you don't win is so gut-wrenching, because you're tied with them. They win this game today, they're a game up. This very well could be separated by a game. I don't know. When you're in the race in late August and September, losses, I don't want to get hung up on it, but it's hard not to.
Little things hurt more. Like the Campbell thing. That felt like a little thing. God, you burned Chapman. That sucks. Hey, you got Crochet on the mound, and then it comes back to bite you. Little things like that can't happen. And I don't want to go back to the trade deadline, but when you want to look at the roster and fill in the cracks on the roster and then you don't do it, it's just, I cannot understand if Craig Breslow is a good GM or a bad GM. I don't get it. Like, is he good or bad? Who are you, Craig? Like, Chapman, awesome. Bregman, awesome. Crochet, awesome. Crochet extension, even better. Roman extension, awesome. Great. Fantastic. But what the fuck? Half measures. I need you to get to that point of Breaking Bad so I can use... You haven't gotten there. You're in season two, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No half measures. We had a good thing going. Nah, you don't get that reference either. You don't get any of these references. I hope people listening get these references. Otherwise, I'm just kind of saying lines into the void. But to put a bow on this kind of my expectations, I guess, at this point, my personal make the playoffs percentage, and I'd love to hear yours after, I'm at like 80% right now, based on how good
you're right where the Fangraphs odds are.
What did you say their number was?
I didn't. Hold on, I had it up and then I closed out. All right, you ready? 78.6 is what they have.
Okay, so same thing.
Yeah,
where are you at? What's yours?
I'll go like 85. I feel really good about it. And I'll tell you to be a little bit more positive here. One thing that was big in this series. Like, one thing that was so frustrating about the last stretch was that you lost three consecutive games pitched by your horses with the Giolito, the Bayo, and the Crochet games. You lost all three of those games. This time around, I mean, yes, you lost one of them, but all three of those guys pitched well. I was particularly impressed with Bayo and Crochet. Giolito, like, he got the job done, and you know what? The results were there. There were some hard hit balls, but he's not walking guys. Like, remember what we're coming off of here. Four straight walks in the fifth inning. Last start. I believe it was one walk in this start. So again, your season and what you do in the postseason is very much contingent on those three guys holding up. And the fact that they held up, I get it's the Marlins, but the fact that they all held up and looked the part, to me, very good. Very good for, you know, when you're facing the Orioles, you're facing the Pirates, you're facing the A's, you're facing the Guardians who don't hit much. Like, you should feel pretty good about games started by those guys against those teams. And when you get Crochet on the mound against the Yankees, which is happening on Saturday, it'll be fun. You can be confident.
Here's some good news. Coming up next, Mariners go to Philly. Houston goes to Detroit. The Yankees go to Tampa. It's not that great. Texas goes to Kansas City.
Yankees are going home.
Yankees going home? Oh, yeah. Sorry. What am I looking
at? No, I'm saying because they're going to Steinbrenner Field. You're probably right.
Oh, God. I thought I looked at the wrong thing. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, they are going home. That's funny. Littler versus Rasmussen. So maybe some tough schedules help the... I'm kind of coping here. But this isn't coping.
No, I don't think it is. No, it's
Toronto
not.
It's Toronto at like, Pirates, though. That's not great.
The division is slipping. It is. Like, five games is tough to make up.
I'm not giving up the division yet.
I'm not saying give up on it. I'm just saying, like, they haven't made up a game in, like, what?
Paul Skeens.
A week and a half?
Paul Skeens. Tomorrow. Blue Jays. There you go.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Pirates
Sox,
never
the,
lose
the guy
game.
The Red Sox are facing has a lower ERA.
Who the hell are the Red Sox? Oh. Okay. Trevor Rogers. Yeah, that's right. He's on a heater. Yeah, come on, though. I mean,
Paul Skeens. I know. I'm kidding. But... No, I think the schedule thing, it really does, like, that you should take it into account. You're basically looking at it like a football season. And I know there's more games than a football season, but, like, strength of schedule, like, you have to look at everything at this point. Like, the games are getting short. When you're below the 40 marker, like, it really does kind of become like score watching in an NFL season. Like, we experienced this in 21. We really didn't get to in 22, 23, or 24 because they got bounced early, they really fizzled out before September hit around. That's not happening this year. You really got to pay attention to what you're seeing around the league. So yeah, schedule matters, and it's why you should feel good. But
speaking of which, how is this? I'm kind of still stuck on Trevor Rogers. What the fuck? When did he?
Yeah, dude, he insane. Came up. I think his like second or third start of the year was against. Might have even been his first. He came up for the doubleheader against the Red Sox for the second game when the day that Bregman got put on the IL with his big injury, and five he just kind of hasn't stopped.
Five earned runs in his last five starts combined. What? Also, his
is he?
He's
how many innings is he throwing in these starts? Is he going deep? Because like no
seven,
one's talking
six,
about him.
6.2, 6.2, 5.1, 8 shut in his 6 starts ago, June 23rd.
That's crazy.
My God. I was looking, like you mentioned, sorry, that was more than 6 starts ago. But you mentioned his ERA. I know you were joking, but like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be, I feel like we haven't seen Ref Snyder in maybe 13 months. So like, it'll be good to see the lefties back out there. The righty's back out there. You should beat the Orioles. I get the pitching matchups aren't necessarily in your favor. Like the Dustin May start is going to be huge. Like we talked about on the last show. Like if Dustin May goes out there and it's 6 more shut, now you're talking about a guy you feel good about. And like we talk about your three horses. If he does that again, you're tempted to put him in that mix too. Feel really good about whatever the Red Sox are doing with him. Whereas if he reverts back, goes 3 1/3, lets up 5, walks 3. Like that's then it's like, okay, then his last start was an aberration. And it's like, okay, you know, we still have the guy who had the mid to high 4 ERA with the Dodgers this year. Like, so like, it's just every, I don't know, maybe I'm so close to the forest that everything feels like it's so big to me. But I genuinely, every time I watch this team this time of year, when they're in the race and they're vying for this home field advantage that I think is so important, just like, every little thing. If Dustin May is good, then the conversation changes.
Yeah, this is the time of year for that. Do you do the thing where you set your notifications for the important games in the morning? I love that time of year.
What do you mean?
Scoreboard watch. In the morning, I open the ESPN app and I go through the games that are relevant to the Red Sox and I turn on the notifications for those games so that I know.
Oh.
I love that time of year. I don't do that in June. I'm not turning on Toronto Blue Jays notifications. I'll check at the end of the day. But this time of year when you're locked in and every game, you're like, oh, Red Sox are down. Damn. Oh, but Toronto's losing. Shit, the Yankees just took the lead. Like, I love that. This is what I live for.
Yeah. I don't turn on the notifications, but I do keep track. And when the Red Sox are not, when they finish their game, and like, if I'm not doing anything else, like, yeah, I'll flip on the Yankee game, or I'll flip on the Blue Jays game, I'll flip on the Mariners game. I feel like I'm going to be watching. It's like 2021 all over again. I watched so much Mariners baseball that last month. Like, I really got used to it because they play at night. So I would finish the Red Sox game, and then the Mariners play at 10, and you watch their game.
Speaking of Mariners, Cal Raleigh just hit his 47th home run.
Wow. Did I jinx it? We shall see.
No, that was what made it 7-3.
So it's 7. I mean, it was 7-1 when I talked about it.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said producer Joe put in our chat that it's 7-3.
Joe said 7-3.
That he's good. Good at baseball, specifically.
Cal Raleigh is good at baseball.
It's the Little League Classic.
Oh, what does that even mean? Like the Little League, what do they do? They go to Williamsport, they play on a big league Dimension Diamond.
Yeah, and they just have like they hang out with the kids early.
They
in the
sled
day.
On the cardboard.
Cool. Yeah, Big Dumper signed a toilet seat or something.
I remember John Schreiber, like, remember he was immortal for the Red Sox in his first go around, but then I think he like blew a game in Williamsport and that was kind of like, oh shit. And then he kind of was mortal for the rest of that year. And then he was like, okay, but he was never quite like, I remember that first like 3 or 4 months with him. And it was just like, it was like a one ERA. Like he was automatic.
He was good. Big fan of Turkish hair implants.
That's true. I'll never forget. No, I didn't get it, but he told me I needed it for my face.
He informed us of what they were. I didn't know what they were until he told us about them. So forever thankful.
I had to look that one up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I guess we can, I don't know. We briefly touched on, we got to go to Nuff Said, but we did briefly touch on the Nathaniel Lowe thing last pod, but I guess it's picking up a little bit of steam.
I feel much better about it now. I think it might actually happen. When we were talking about it, my mind was kind of like, yeah, I'd love for it to happen, but he's not going to get through waivers. But then after we finished recording, we started looking at the money. Oh, he's actually making about $2.5 million for the rest of the year. So some teams might not want to pick that up.
It seems like he's clear. There's no better destination for him, right? Like he can get the Red Sox have to be the only team where he can get regular at bats through the end of the season for a team that's competing for the postseason, right?
Right. And if you're going to cheap out on the bullpen and not add to the bullpen, make it up to us fans by, you know, all right, fine. Here's a bat that could help the team a little bit as you make a push for October. Just be cool, Red Sox.
Yeah.
Just get us this guy. He's good. He's had a good career, too. People are looking
really
at his
good
numbers
career. Really
in
good
2025.
Career.
He's an all-star, World Series champion. Not a bad player at all.
He's been like a top 10 first caliber first baseman in the league for years until this year. And sometimes all you need is a change of scenery. I'm on board with it. Like I don't think there's anything to lose. So yeah, I mean I understand if they're not going to claim the guy, especially if they've got it on good authority that no one else is going to claim him. Because again, I think they have the best pitch. So
yeah, I agree.
By all means, just go get the guy. But
he had a 123 OPS plus last year. That's a good bat.
Yeah. And he used to be a good defender. So maybe it's just chance on the metrics. I don't know. I haven't watched his defense this year. I have no idea.
I don't see how he would turn 30 and then just be a terrible defender.
Yeah.
It's probably more of an outlier than anything.
Yeah. The metrics sometimes, if a guy goes from, especially at first base, if you go from insane to terrible, like the metrics at first base are already tough enough. But before we get to Nuff Said, one more thing, the injury news, because obviously we had the news on Marcelo today. Season-ending surgery coming up. Turns out that surgery was inevitable. It was just a matter of could that shot make the pain bearable for him to continue playing. Which the fact that they wanted to push him to do that just shows how important he is to this group, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You've seen what they've had to do at first and second base, just kind of whatever they're trying to do with Romy and Toro, and they tried Hamilton, they sent him down. Like there's a bunch of shit they're trying, and you know, obviously it's easier if you just have a Marcelo Romy platoon or a now you got Rafaela at second base. Like before, it was Marcelo mostly, and Rafael would play the outfield, and Yoshida had less reps. Now he's got more reps. He's playing a little bit better, but everything gets a little bit more difficult, especially on the defensive side of the ball without Marcelo there. To me, I feel like the conversation needs to be surrounding, like, is this guy I feel bad because, like, obviously he doesn't want to be injured, and like he does everything he can to not get injured. And the Red Sox have some of the best medical staff in the league to try to prevent these things. But, you know, this is what now 3 of the last 4 years, I believe, that his season has ended with a significant injury. So like, it's tough. Like, I don't want to label the guy injury prone. And again, he's still a growing guy filling out into his body. Like sometimes these guys get hurt and then they grow to their full potential. And then, you know, their body is able to withstand it. So I don't want to like write the guy off as injury prone, cooked for the rest of his career, whatnot. But like, it is a conversation. I think it's fair at this point. I thought it was unfair last year to have that conversation, but I mean, it sucks. Like, I don't want to put that label on the guy, but I mean, like, what choice do you have?
Yeah. I mean, not much more to add to that. It sucks. Hopefully it's good in the long run. Hopefully the wrist doesn't bother him anymore. But yeah, I mean, that, the back, hard not to be a little bit, I'm not going to put the injury prone label on him yet. Like you said, he's not even at his final form yet. He's going to keep growing, hopefully put on some muscle. It's a 3-month recovery. So what is it? August, September, October, November. So even before the year ends, he should be back to baseball activity. So put on some muscle. Maybe that helps. You got the best staff in the world with the Red Sox. So yeah, it sucks to see. It would have been nice to have him come back. I think it's a good sign that they thought maybe a pain tolerance thing, he could play through it. Obviously not good that he wasn't able to do that, but the fact that that was even a consideration, if you're really looking to join me on Team Cope with this, I guess that's good. So wishing the best to Marcelo. He's been great to us on a personal level, giving us time, interviews and everything. Great guy by all accounts. Good to the fans. Wishing him the best. It'll be great when he's back next year. Full season of Marcelo Meyer, 2026.
Yeah,
full also, season. I love this quote. I love this quote about how his season's not over because great he quote. Still has a lot to learn. Ball player.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they approach next season with him because, like, I don't know. It's going to be an off-season conversation that we're going to have a lot of times, but it's like, do you find a way to get him full-time reps at shortstop? And, like, obviously, what do you do with Trevor Story? But at this point, it's like, you definitely have to have, like, if you give, obviously, he's going to start for this team next year, but at whatever position you're going to start him, like, there does need to be something else there, like to just an insurance policy. Like, we'll talk about it later. That's not a conversation for today. But yeah, just wishing the kid the best in his recovery. I know it's killing him to not be out there. Like, this has been a fun team this year. Like, as much as we complained about the game today, this team since what, June, has been a blast, and he has been a big part of why it's been so fun. Like, shocker, like the second Marcelo and Roman came up, this team got really fun. So I'm excited to see what a full season of Marcelo looks like. He doesn't have rookie eligibility next year, so he will not be eligible for rookie of the year. But I'm excited to see what he does. He's still got a bright career ahead of him. Hopefully he can stay healthy and we can put these injury conversations to bed. But unfortunately, they're going to be pretty prevalent for the time being. The only other injury thing was the Willier thing. He came out of the game. I don't know. Seems like he's going to be fine. He seemed unconcerned about it. Said he's going to be back for the Yankee series. Obviously something to monitor, but
yeah,
hopefully it doesn't seem like he's going to go on the IL, so I'm not really concerned.
Yeah, me neither. Hopefully it's nothing. The Red Sox are a little secretive with this stuff, so best hope is that he's true to his word. Not true to his word, but that he's correct with his evaluation. I mean, he's not a doctor. That's a positive guess. I hope he's right. It's nice that they face a lefty tomorrow, a game that you could have said, maybe Willier doesn't play anyway.
So yeah.
Trevor Rogers, tough lefty. Got to get Ref Snyder in the lineup for the first time since May or whatever it's been. I feel like we haven't seen him forever. But yeah, sucks. That's another big piece, another big defensive piece too. These Red Sox teams have been so, so bad defensively the last 3-4 seasons. And now finally I know the numbers aren't good because of early on, but I think this is a good defensive team as is constructed right now. So to lose Marcelo, who smooth as hell on the infield, second base, third base, and then Willier, obviously Gold Glover out in the toughest right field in the world, sucks. But hopefully the Willier one's not long term. Get him back for this big Yankee series.
Yeah, and shout out to him for getting his revenge on the right field wall or whoever you think he needs revenge against, because he dropped that ball when he was falling into the right field stands last year against the Yankees, which would have been like one of the best catches that we've seen in our lives. This time around, he hit the home run that was in the Marlins guy's glove, and he hit the wall and it fell out. So shout out to Willier. What goes around comes around, and he's gonna be fine. I believe Willie when he talks. Sometimes you can't believe the Red Sox when they say things, but like with the players, I feel like you can, like with Marcelo, you could tell he was pretty concerned right off the bat. Willie doesn't seem concerned. I'm gonna roll with my guy there. Willie's gonna be good back against the Yankees. That's when it matters.
We met him for the first time the other day. Oh, yeah. When we met him, he said Wilger, like with a. I know that I always thought
it's
there was
half
a
and half,
but he said it like hard. He was like, "Hi, I'm Wilger."
I'm like, oh, I thought it came across like he said, like he was saying both, like he was saying Willier and Wilger overlapped. So you couldn't tell if it was a Y or a J. It was like, ready? I'm going to try
like,
it.
Wilger.
I think it was Wilger. No, Wilger. Wilger. Wilger.
Wilger.
There you go. Wilger.
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 It was more of a J than I thought it was, is the point. So I was right when he said that, my mind blanked and I was thinking, have I been calling this guy the wrong name this entire time? I'm an idiot. I do a podcast about this team. I should know that. But there, live and learn. Wilger.
We saw him at the park with Pat and Joe, and I'm just calling him Willie. I'm just not even going to try because like I don't want to get it
Gordo.
Right.
Call him Gordo. Oh,
yeah, he also goes by Gordo. But we'll have to, when we get him on the pod at some point, we're gonna have to talk that one out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he knows we need to talk it out, so he knows it's coming.
He'll be here. Yeah. He will not be in your basement with Isaiah. Is Isaiah Campbell in your basement yet?
No,
is he tied
I don't know.
Up?
Let me check the Uber app. They've been driving in circles for a little bit. Maybe they rang the doorbell and I just can't hear it because it's soundproof down here. Because obviously, like, who knows? But
what if Isaiah Campbell eats all the ceiling cotton candy and then you have none left? Ah, you would just be so upset with him.
Well, yeah, I'd be upset and it would be less soundproof, which obviously is a problem for the owners of this place. I do not own the place.
It's kind of creepy that you have a soundproof basement, just saying. But anyway.
Enough said?
Yeah, enough said. I'll go. I just got back from Cape Cod and I don't go there enough. Cape Cod, I have family members who live down there. That is the best. That is the best place. End of sentence. Best place. I love it there. It's so nice. When the weather's good, I should add. When the weather's not good, not much to do. But just so beautiful, so relaxing. I wish I could live there. Oh, God. What's Joe going to say? Are you pissed?
Cape Cod? That's not how we call it around here.
The Cape, okay?
I don't Thank know. You.
We have Thank people you. From We have people from out of town listening. I don't want them to be like, what's the Cape?
All right, I'll go. I'm also on Cape Cod. I'm on Cape Cod, Joe. I'm on Cape Cod.
Where are you?
So I'm on Cape Cod. I'm in Eastham right now, but earlier today I was in Falmouth for the road race, which is such a vibe, such a cool event. So my wife ran it, and shout out to her. She did such an awesome job, and I'm super proud of her for working super hard to work up to it and run the race. It was really cool to see her do it and accomplish it, and I was really proud of her for that. But my day, I woke up at 5 a.m. and I dropped her off. We got there at like 7, and she wasn't going to cross the finish line until 10 something. So I had like 2.5+ hours to kill. And I literally just sat my ass on the beach in my shorts. And I literally just like scrolled MLB. I was like looking at the home road. I was just looking at Sox stuff on the beach. Like it was just.
Why don't we live in Cape Cod? Why don't we move down to the Cape, Gordo? We'll get a compound.
Yeah.
A Playtessie compound with all the money that I don't have. We'll do that.
You know, like those. Like those TikTok influencers always get those houses, big houses together and like live together and just create content. That's what we should
do. Gigolo houses. What? No, yeah. Wrong thing. No. What's yeah. That? Yeah. Anyway, shit. I wish Pat was here. Anyway. Yeah. TikTok house. Creator.
Oh my God. Joe, do you have enough said?
I actually do, not to totally 360 this mood or whatever it is, but by the time this episode comes out, we'll be kicking off the WEEI Nesson Red Sox Jimmy Fun, which is always a great event. It's 2 days during these two games. Phone lines are going to be going from basically starting at midnight on Sunday as we record all the way up until midnight of the Tuesday night game. So whatever you can, if you're listening out there, do what you can, call in, to the telethon line. We'll try and K cancer. It's always a great time to hear these stories and whatever on Nesson and on WEEI. So just do what you can. Small donation makes a big difference. We've hit roughly $3 million, I think. $3 million was raised last year, something around that mark, the year or two before. So all we need is a small donation from Red Sox Nation out there.
Joe, yeah, that starts always... Monday, you said?
Yep.
We should
during
post
these two games against Baltimore.
Let's make sure we post the phone number from the Playtesty account, so if people are listening, they could go to the page and call in. Say it again. What time does it start?
It's basically it's an all day thing. It's 48 hours, so midnight Sunday to midnight Tuesday.
And tune in to WEI. Watch on Nesson, because you've got a lot of cool people telling a lot of really cool stories. Both patients, their families. Players, alumni, like it's an all out event. And they, every year, WEI and Nesson do such a good job of this. The Red Sox do such a great job. The players get involved. It's always really cool to see, always really valuable perspective, and they raise a ton of money for a really good cause. So shout out to everyone involved in that. Cause I know a lot of people work really, really hard, and a lot of people are going through some really, really tough shit. And so anything that people can do to help those people out is always a good thing.
Well said, Gordo.
Hell yeah.
Cosine.
Well said. That's how you wrap it right there.
Right there. Thanks for tuning in. Here's a quick look at that. There's like a bed back there.
Oh my God, dude. Are you in like a torture
at least you
chamber?
Provide living accommodations for
I do. Dude, this basement is fucking weird, dude. All right, let's wrap this thing up. I gotta go get the door. I hear someone banging on it.
Isaiah Campbell's here. Let's go. He's going to eat Uber, the candy.
His Uber driver's got him tied up.
You're going to force him to donate to the Jimmy Fund.
Thanks for tuning in. Episode 252 of Playtesty. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars and subscribe on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on all the videos in the Playtesty playlist. And find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Joe, it's Gordo here for Playtesty episode 252. Let's get a couple games against the Orioles, please. We'll be back in your ears on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.